Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for holding. Welcome to Hidrovias' third quarter 2020 results conference call. We have with us today Mr. Fabio Schettino, the company CEO, and Mr. Andrei Kubota, the CFO, and Bruno Serafião, the Executive Chairman. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Ensuing this, we will go on to the question-and-answer session, at which time further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is being broadcast live via webcast and may be accessed through the website link at ri.hbsa.com.br, where the presentation is also available. Once again, you may flip through the slides at your own convenience. The replay of this event will be available after the closing. We would like to remind the participants of the webcast that they can post their questions that will be answered during the Q&A session. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements made during the conference call are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Hidrovias management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also cause results to differ materially and lead to results that are different from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. We would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Bruno Serafião, who will begin the presentation. You may proceed, sir. Thank you very much, and a good afternoon to all of you. I am Bruno Serafião, the Chairman of the Board of Hidrovias, and it is a pleasure to hold the first call of this company that has just been listed. Hidrovias is the largest logistic platform in Latin America, focusing on waterway solutions. And with me, I have the company CEO and Mr. Kubota, the CFO and IRO. And perhaps you could follow me to page number four of the presentation for a macro vision. Once again, this company is the largest logistics platform in Latin America. We have long-term contracts with very strong clients, a very resilient business model, more than 350 modern push boats, barges, and ships, four dedicated terminals, four business units, many of which are pegged to the dollar. And we work with grains, which is a growing agribusiness in Brazil. We have the ability to set forth new projects every 2 or 4 months, such as the project of Santos that is doing very well with the salt, and we have a robust pipeline of projects. And we go all the way from the Amazon to Tocantins and in the south, Paranaguá, Paranapaná. And I would now like to give the floor to Fabio Schettino, who will refer to the third quarter 2020 highlights, and I will return in the Q&A session. Thank you. And I would like to go on to page number six to refer to the highlights and thank all of you for your availability and interest in the group that was negotiated in B3 after its IPO and that has had very robust results, a growth of volume, a growth of revenues, and EBITDA. Now, since the creation, the company celebrated 10 years in August. And since then, we have had a constant and robust growth. And it is our understanding that this growth will continue going forward in terms of adjusted EBITDA. 54% vis-a-vis the period year. We maintained a very good operating margin with a growth of 15 percentage points vis-a-vis the same period to 19. We held the IPO with success this year, and we have an increase of 63% vis-a-vis the same period last year in the North Corridor with a good margin. And therefore, this has become a priority corridor with more than 50% of all of the grain produced or exported by Mato Grosso. And the main vehicle for this to happen was the waterway in Brazil, and we have the largest share in this. Our coastal navigation operation continues with very strong results of more than 130% vis-a-vis last year. We have a contract with the North with a full vessel. And our operations in the South Corridor have also shown resilience, and we have delivered very strong results with margins coming close to 60%. This is very important because we speak about the water in the river, the draft, the navigation restrictions, but the figures show the resiliency and the quality of our assets in the P&L. Simply to remind you, this P&L is pegged to the dollar, which benefits us thanks to the appreciation of the dollar vis-a-vis the real. And we are a company with a great deal of diversification. So the country is very robust in the South Corridor. In page number 7, we recorded the highest adjusted EBITDA in the company's history. We have presented this growth systematically, higher results, more diversified with very good terms, and we hope that this will continue to be a trend. The volumes continue with that growing trend with 3.6 million tons transported in the quarter. Almost 2 million tons for the North Corridor, over 500,000 tons in the South Corridor, above 1,000 tons in the coastal navigation or cabotage, and a first full quarter of operation in Santos. We delivered an EBITDA of more than 200 million for the EBITDA. We continue with a very robust cash flow, 1.2 billion of cash available in terms of liquidity to support our growth. And as mentioned, a very strong pipeline with new projects, new businesses. Recently, we created a board for a new business, and we also have a sustainability board that is fundamental while addressing our management. And these projects have a great deal of synergy in terms of CAPEX and with an existing infrastructure. And once again, our business model is very strong. These are the main highlights of the third quarter. I would like to now give the floor to our CFO to give you more details about our business units. It is a pleasure to be here. This is the first call for this company. Thank you, Fabio. And I'm going to go through each business unit and remark on each different market and give you the financial highlights. If possible, if you could go to slide number 9, we will begin speaking about the South Corridor, responsible for the logistic of iron ore, grains, fertilizers, pulp, as well as other products. In slide number 10, we begin with iron ore, where we observe a great recovery in terms of prices. And evidently, this may end up in an increase of demand for the product in the region. And we will have a full volume full contract, which is an important milestone. This is something that we disclosed recently. And of course, it is very important for the competitiveness of our services. We go on to slide number 11 to speak about the grain market, with a good growth in production as well as exports. And Paraguay has become one of the great exporters of grains in the world. And in the following slide, number 12, we go into some of the financial details. As we have been mentioning in the past results, the South Corridor still has the impact of hydrology, and our focus has always been to service our customers and are complying with our long-term commitments. We do have several short-term commitments, and in this adverse, very critical situation, we were able to obtain consistent and resilient results with sound margins. The good news here for this month is that we see that the levels of the river are beginning to recover thanks to the rain. We go on to slide number 13 to refer to the North Corridor. This is the grains and fertilizer North Corridor and the business of bauxite, which is very important for our coastal navigation. In slide number 14, initially, we would like to confirm what we had in mind when we built these corridors. The first is the production and competitiveness in Mato Grosso that has become confirmed as a highly productive region. This year, we should attain a record harvest in the also a very strong growth in the north of Brazil. The graph to the right and at the top is the road freight that continues to enhance the competitiveness of this corridor. And this was very important to continue to increase our figures. If we look at the market share of this North Arch, it reaches half of the volume of the exports with a growth of 5 percentage points vis-a-vis the previous quarter. Additionally, within this North Arch, this road freight has also increased. We had an increase in market share of 40% in these ports. Now, if we look at slide number 15, we can observe that despite the delay that we had and with the rainfall that we had just recently, we are very close to our historical averages. The harvest should once again be a record. And another positive point is the marketing or commercialization that is fully booked compared to previous years. This, of course, will help us and will help us increase the trend of harvest in the coming years. And all of our volume has already been contracted, and it will be greater than the projections that we have for this year. So this beginning of commercialization is important, and it allows us to work with robust volumes that are very attractive. On slide number 16, we would like to go into more detail of the main cores of the North Corridor. Were very strong in volume, 23%, 42% of EBITDA. What is important to mention is that beginning this quarter, we are also disclosing the volumes separately, those that come in through railroads to our export terminal, that this quarter grew 58%. And of course, this also helps us to have greater transparency and will allow investors to better follow up on our system. It is important to note here that despite the growth, we deployed enormous efforts in the company to continue optimizing costs. We also have a gain in terms of dilution of fixed costs, and we have an increase in operational margins, 14% year on year, and a very strong margin. We go on to slide number 17 to speak about coastal navigation. Now, this is a project that continued on with an increase of volume, with our main client operating regularly at the refinery of Macarena. And obviously, the company has very good results and profitability. We remind you that this project, once again, is pegged to the dollar, and we have positive figures. We go on to slide number 18, the Santos and Salt project. This is a project that is still in the process of the works as within the schedule, and the intention is to operate concomitantly with the civil works. We have been operating since May, since the half of the second quarter, and we already have very good results. The project continues to be in the implementation phase, and we should begin operations in the first quarter of 2021. Here we have the financial highlights going on to slide 20. We continue with a robust cash position. We have 1.2 billion reais in cash, a debt and an amortization schedule, which is quite lengthened, and it allows the company the comfort to continue on investing in new projects. In terms of our leverage, it is our understanding that the growth of EBITDA and with the growth of cash flow will enable us to continue deleveraging the company balance. And finally, on slide number 21, regarding CAPEX, it's important to observe that a large part of the CAPEX that we have done is in expansion projects. This quarter specifically, we had two projects under implementation, the Port of Santos and Salt, and a recurrent CAPEX that structurally sets itself aside. Well, basically, these are the slides that refer to the financial highlights. I will turn over the floor before we go to the question and answer session. Thank you. On slide number 22, we would like to refer to what we have already done and what we will be doing. The operations are consolidated. The operational risks, the learning curve is fully consistent, and it's something from the past. We have consolidated the operations of these three business lines. We have delivered sound results. We reinforce our corporate governance. We want a board focused on sustainability, and they will refer to social investments, health, security, and environment. And of course, the social and environmental issues at the company. We're working very strongly on being attentive to the sustainability. And the General Counsel is looking upon this very vigorously. And we continue to fulfill the client demands. This was a year in which the flexibility of Hidrovias was put to test, and we do react better in a crisis. And this is a very clear example. All of the results that we are presenting were obtained in a very adverse scenario with a pandemic as well as the hydrological problem. So this points to the sound foundation of the company. We will continue to grow. We are expanding our operations. There's a plan to expand the North Corridor. And the coming year, in the near future, we will make a decision to continue to expand the Northern System, which is the only independent provider of logistics to offer capacity for the North Corridor of Brazil. We continue to diversify projects, and we do have a robust project pipeline. And as mentioned, the company is able to work with a new project every year and a half. And this is a trend that we will continue actively and in a robust way. We maintain our commitment with our clients. An example of this is Vale. Vale decided to contract the full fleet for the coming year. This is very significant. This is our DNA of having long-term relationships and a very stable one. And finally, everything based on ethics and sustainability. And this has been our foundation since the beginning. So the message here is of confidence, of growth, and of a very good foundation. And you will observe this throughout this 10-year period. I would like to thank all of you, and we are all at your disposal now to respond to specific questions. We will now go on to the Q&A session for investors and analysts. Should you have a question, please press star 1. If your question has been responded, you can withdraw from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. We request that you please pick up your phone when posing your question. Our first question comes from Rosh Milberg from Morgan Stanley. Thank you. Good afternoon, Bruno, Fabio, and good afternoon. Congratulations for these initial results for a listed company. My first question refers to the grain market in Mato Grosso. I was told that the plantation would delay and that some of the producers are holding back on their production, awaiting better prices. If you could refer to these factors in more detail and your eventual plans for these waterways, and which is the scenario that you observe for the North Corridor in going forward, especially in terms of long-term projects. So which is the percentage of the volume that has already been contracted? I'm speaking of the year 2021, 2022. Thank you. This is Fabio, George. When it comes to the first part of the question, that delay, there has been a delay, and at present, the situation has been normalized. I would like to remind you, George, that we do not work with spot routes, which means that we already have a significant negotiated percentage. The volume this year has already been contracted with a regime of a pool and with a very well-defined cadence. Customer clients not only define volume, but the curve of how all of this will be delivered. Now, this situation of a delay and that fact that the producers are playing around with timing, producers have to tell us when they're going to deliver these trucks and when they're going to be boarding the ships. And in 2021, we begin the year with the highest contracted volume, with an increase of rates in all of the lines and in all of our businesses. We have a better ticket the coming year than the average tickets this year. So the coming year has been very clearly defined. And when it comes to the short-term contracts, this is becoming ever more reduced because of the capacity that we have already negotiated. Very good. So it seems that at present, the situation will be simpler to forecast. My second question was if you could update us on the scenario of your CAPEX of the end of 2020 to 2021 going forward, and if there's any possibility of anticipating investments the coming year because of the higher volumes that have been negotiated or for any other reason. George, I'm going to answer the second part. And then, as I mentioned, we have that expansion plan. And what we are assessing is to anticipate that decision for expansion for a very good reason. The market is very strong. It is thriving. And as I mentioned, our full capacity projection will have to be anticipated. And we are perhaps going to anticipate then this expansion in the North Corridor. We're anticipating the request for proposals, the packages, so that we can take a decision at board level. When it comes from the viewpoint of assets, Vale has contracted 100% of our fleet, but I do need assets to continue performing. With the cargo from Vale, and this represents an opportunity. What we are doing at present, therefore, is assessing the purchase of assets, and because they have asked for a full contract and we continue to operate with the long-term contracts with Vale. Now, we have to look at the upside of this. And in this case, if I don't buy assets, I will generate more EBITDA with Vale. But if I add more assets to the fleet, I might not lose this market that was being operated with the Vale assets. Just to give you an idea of the CAPEX, a previous comment, I am receiving some comments from the listeners, and they're saying that the audio is a bit choppy. If they could please improve the audio. Yes, of course, we can do that if you give us only a few seconds. Thank you very much. You may proceed for those who are speaking. Can you hear me well now? Yes, yes. Thank you. And once again, if we have a problem, please warn us as we have a backup and we can change lines. We do apologize for this problem. Now, when it comes to the figures more specifically, Josh, and regarding the recurrent CAPEX, it continues at very good levels as we have been performing in the last quarters. And regarding the expansion CAPEX more specifically, this quarter in Santos, we will enter a phase where we will begin more of the civil works and the phase of implementation of SALT. So we will pick up the pace in terms of this project. As Fabio mentioned, we are holding a discussion in terms of timing and specific projects. Evidently, once we have made the decision, we will share it with you. Thank you, Kubota. And the last question from me, referring to the convoys. You spoke about iron ore that is at an excellent level, but there are other factors that are important in the decision of Vale, or do they depend more on you? Josh, this is Fabio. I think it's a combination. The price of iron ore, of course, is important. It makes the Corumbá corridor ever more competitive. But the way in which we have been rendering services to Vale, the assets that we have built for Vale, the productivity levels are much higher. They have embedded technology. They can deliver a better OPEX. And because of this, Vale decided not to have another provider for the sale of iron ore in the corridor there. So it's a combination of price and the quality of the service and the stability of these services rendered. Vale did have other contracts that have expired, and the agreement that we have with Vale is that once these contracts expire, all the volumes will be geared towards us, and this is materializing at present. We granted the system to Vale to create competitiveness among the client, and now he has decided to stay with us up to 2 million reais in Corumbá, and of course, we're going to service them. Thank you, and congratulations once again. Thank you, Josh. Our next question comes from Fernanda Requia from BTG Pactual. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations for your excellent results. I have two questions. The first, so depending on the question from Josh referring to the North Corridor, have you had any penalty because they increased the contract for a long-term one? And the second question, will there be any active sales in the auctions? And the potential of privatization, the collection of toll, will this be more productive? Will it give you greater competitiveness? What are you expecting, therefore, in this field because of the Ferrogrão auction? Thank you, Fernanda. This is Fabio. Allow me to begin here, and then Bruno will speak about the auctions. When it comes to the rates or the tariffs, it's more than a trend. This increase in rates in the contract for the coming year has already been contracted. It is part of the contract that we have with them, and of course, we are complying with this. The most important aspect that I would like to remark about this is that the competitiveness of freight for the North Corridor was benefited by that drop of the waterway freight. So the rates that have been agreed upon in the contract in real terms, including railroad freight, is extremely competitive. And we have been able to keep up on the demands that we have negotiated for the coming year. Therefore, the North Corridor has never been in such a good position as now. A reduction of railroad freight that is much greater than the increase of rates that we are transferring. And this, of course, gives the client competitivity, and we increase our average ticket. Now, regarding this increase of rates, is natural as of the coming year. And I would like to ask Bruno to help me in your question regarding auctions as the chairman of the board. Thank you, Fabio. Well, you're speaking. My position is not that of a partner here. It is a position of the chairman of the company. And we believe that this project is a project that has great feasibility in terms of demand and in terms of execution. It is a highly feasible project. And the only thing that we are doing here is eliminating the role of the concessionaire, which has a risk. And in terms of the funding, we're working with multilateral agencies, and we have had significant interaction with the government so that all of this will materialize. We believe that once this project is standing, we will have several supporters for this. And we also have supporters for the project of the BR3 highway. And we believe that the feasibility of this highway is very important for the recovery of the Northern Arc. And it is the position of the government of the state to change this highway for truck transportation, I believe. And of course, there will be a toll on BR3, and this will not impact the competitiveness of the northern system. And of course, we will have significant room for margin when we put together all of these elements. We do believe that this project will give us greater visibility in the long term, will allow truck drivers a greater feasibility. And even by including the toll, I think this position will be neutral, but certainly not negative for the Northern Corridor. And we will have an increase in market share. Thank you very much for the clarification. And once again, congratulations for your results. Thank you, Fernanda. The next question is from Andre Hashing from Itaú Bank. Bruno, Fabio, thank you for taking the questions. First of all, congratulations for the results. We have been discussing them since the IPO process. Now, the first question refers to M&As. This is part of the company DNA to add new opportunities. What have you seen that would represent a new opportunity that could come into the market in the coming months? And which is the dynamic in the South? Is an opportunity for M&A there? And in the North, if there is the opportunity for new projects for Porto Velho, for example? This is my first question, and then I will pose the second question. Thank you, Hashin. First, regarding the M&As, besides being a company that has developed greenfield projects, we already have a well-consolidated platform, and we can make the most of opportunities to consolidate the market to obtain cost, trade, and financial synergies. So we are scouting out these markets as well. As you mentioned, in the South, we do have some opportunities that we're mapping and analyzing. We have enough synergy that we can obtain for our operations. And as you remarked, we do see other opportunities in other regions in the North Corridor as well, especially in Porto Velho, as mentioned. And we might enter with a new product or acquisition, but we also have opportunities in general in the Northern Corridor. Simply to add to this, our growth is based on a pyramid. At the base, we have the long-term contracts that we have. And at another level, we have those incremental projects. They are highly attractive projects, as mentioned, that will bring synergies in terms of CAPEX. The expansion of the North Corridor is an example, and the potential project of Porto Velho that, well, these would be accretive projects for the company. But beyond that, growth will also depend on inorganic growth. We have a financial robustness, and strategically, we have the obligation of being a consolidating agent. Therefore, from the viewpoint of new projects and M&A, the company should become more active as of this moment because we already have consolidated results, a robust cash generation, and synergies that we can capture. Doubtlessly, this trend will be strengthened more than it was in the past. Very good. Thank you. And if you allow me a second question to ask about the North, it is very clear that the dynamic for the coming year, that most of your volumes have already been contracted. Now, the available space that you have is relatively limited. Now, what would happen with soybeans, for example? In the two modals, in the south and the north, we see that the environment is much more challenged. There is a fight for rates or tariffs. What is happening in terms of competition of the northern arc, the southern arc? How far will this competition go? And if the coming year, if you're going to operate close to your capacity, what will you be doing? André, this is Fabio once again. I will begin answering and then we will give the floor to somebody else. Now, our system is more competitive for the mid-market and the north of Mato Grosso. And the mid-north of Mato Grosso seems to be thriving more. Now, with your question, with the BR3, we have also become competitive in the middle of the state, in the region of Sorriso. When we look at the cost of going upwards instead of going downwards, we are more competitive in the region of Sorriso. And this has allowed us to capture cargo and allows our clients to also capture cargo. Our presence in the middle of the state is circumstantial because we are highly competitive, but we do not necessarily depend on that market. When we go further north, competitiveness is somewhat controversial. We have huge amounts that we have to take up, and this is something captive in the northern system. Now, our diversification is very great. We capture cargo from Sorriso upwards, and in some cases below Sorriso, we are also competitive. And that is why the North Corridor has gone up so much in market share, 20%. Now, 5% of all of the soybeans produced in Mato Grosso are being sent through the North Corridor. And the state as a whole is growing, but the relative growth of the northern region is somewhat greater than in other states because there is a very clear substitution of cattle raising for agriculture. And the further north you go, the more competitive it is to leave through the north. So we observe a very strong growth precisely in our area of influence. What happened in practice is that the reduction of freight on the BR last year, when we analyze the data, allows us 15 more municipalities in terms of our area of influence. We now have this with the BR3, and that is why it is so important that BR36 continue to be a very stable highway. I don't see hindrances that we saw in the past. It is well paved, and as of the coming year, it will be in the hands of private initiative with a bit of maintenance. Thank you very much. Now, if you allow me a third question. you have enormous potential in terms of the north. You could maximize the trucks and the toll so that the truck does not come back empty. It could go up with grains and come back with fertilizers. Andre, fertilizers are the return cargo, and this is a project that, because of the cost that we incur in, represents a priority for us. Now, with our presence in Santos and with a presence in the south and the Amazon basin, we're reviewing all of this very systemically. We have several alternatives, which include Porto Velho, the northeast, northwest of Mato Grosso. And we have intensified the transport of fertilizers, and our position in Santos complements all this. In Santos, cargo is mainly by highway. We're thinking about servicing this through railroad, and it can also go up to Mato Grosso through railroads, and we're discussing partnerships to increase the transport of fertilizers. The coming year, we will consolidate this vision and have a more systemic vision, and everything will be done through long-term relationships. We do not want to compete with operators that work with minor or even informal operations that exist in the north. We're setting up this corridor to have a more stable presence for the long term. We do have two negotiations, protocols of intention that are well advanced, one with a local group, another with an international group, referring to fertilizers. Of course, this is a priority, and these are very large projects. Yes, we are diversifying for the future of the company. Thank you very much, Fabio. Thank you, Andre, for the questions. The next question is from Murilo Freiberger from Bank of America. Good afternoon, Fabio, Kubota, and others. Well, most of the questions have already been answered. When it comes to the decision of Vale of calling back the entire fleet for the coming year, of course, this is very positive as a whole, but a doubt that is pending is if this is not going to limit capacity for the coming year in terms of volume. And in the north and in the south, you see that all of these volumes are increasing. The second question is somewhat more technical and is a it's the question on the mismatch effect. The fact that you're somewhat above your covenant, does this pose any concern for the company, or is this not a reason for concern? Murilo, I will answer the first part, and Kubota will respond to the second part of your question. Regarding Vale, what is important here is discuss that relationship between volume and results. And even if we don't work with the same volumes, Vale brings us additional EBITDA results. Vale paid $44 million. And they contributed with convoys. They contributed with one or two convoys. They now pay up to 3.2 million per ton, which is equivalent to the full capacity of the fleet. From the viewpoint of results, the EBITDA has been preserved, and this is how we perceive it. When we negotiated the 44 million in variable operations with Vale, we caught up. Now we're going back to the original EBITDA, a loss of EBITDA. And the question is very timely. If we cannot lose the volume that we had with those grains with an incremental EBITDA. And this is a possibility we have of looking at assets in Rio, not only maintaining our EBITDA, but also continuing to offer services for grains and other cargo to have an incremental EBITDA. If we do nothing, EBITDA will be maintained, and we can continue to service the clients that will not be serviced by the Vale vessels. Now, regarding the second question, Murilo, the capital structure, these are valid points. Structurally, we are a reasonably conservative company. When it comes to exposure, we're also always going to work so that structurally we are in a good position. As you mentioned, we may have data in the balance with volatility when it comes to cash generation, but structurally, we understand that we are doing quite well. Now, in our coastal navigation and in the southern corridor, we do have a large part of our cash flow and cash generation in dollars, and the figures point to the last months where this percentage in dollars was of 60%, and we also have a cash position maintained in dollars so that we can match this with our debt, which is also pegged to the dollar. And if we remove these timely effects of currency variation that are non-cash effects, we would have a leverage somewhat above 4 with a growth of EBITDA. A great part has already been contracted with a very forecastable provision and a cash flow that will also be maintained. So we see the company in a continuous deleveraging process vis-à-vis the figures that we have at present. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Murilo.
The next question is from Regis Cardoso from Credit Suisse. Your line is open, Regis. Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry, I was with a headphone that wasn't working. Good afternoon, Fabio, Kudota. Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations for the results. I have some follow-up questions of previous discussions. You mentioned that the capacity was almost fully contracted for 2021. I would like to know if I have the right understanding. In Miritituba, you have sufficient volume to occupy your annual capacity of Miritituba. Is that it? This is one of the questions. The other question, also a follow-up of previous questions, refers to the South Corridor or Southern Arc. What is going to happen to EBITDA and CapEx when you acquire new vessels to maintain your operations in the southern system? If I understood correctly, what you would do would be to acquire fixed assets. And to go back in to another question, a broader question about new projects. One of them is fertilizers, where you would like to reduce the freight. And if you could also remark on other projects that you have in the radar. You already referred to Portovelo, if LNG would be an opportunity or no longer is. And finally, how would you put these projects in the context of your balance? You refer to a financial robustness, but there also is the issue of net debt and EBITDA leverage in the short term. These are three follow-ups and a more specific question on the impacts of very dry weather in the
southern operation and the impact that you could have in terms of volumes in the northern operation. Regis, this is Fabio. I'm going to answer two or three points, and then Kubata will speak about the return and other projects and the capital structure. Well, let me begin speaking about the drought. In our business, when we perceived this company, we were very careful to base ourselves on a historical series of 40 to 50 years. So we knew that we had to perform in this environment where you have years with a greater drought and years with more rainfall. You do have a waterway that is highly defined in Paranaguá and Paraguay. But what we had this year was an outlier of the curve, and it happened again. It doesn't mean that we can't navigate. We have preserved the volumes and the costs in a highly adverse environment. So we hope that this new regime will come back. Now, differently from waterways, and this is part of the company's strategy, we are thinking of assets that have a better performance than those that you have in competition. These are used vessels that have been renovated, and that is why the performance of the company was the same in the adverse condition, especially in the south. Now, this is part of our day-to-day work. This is our business. This is less of an impact in the north. We're referring to the Amazon basin, where the situation is calmer. We don't have that intense hydrological variation as in the south, but in the Paranaguá, Paraguay waterway, we do have a draft, and this is contemplated in our historical series, so much so that some of our contracts in the south do not force us to navigate in December, which is natural. The river is very low at the end of the year and begins to recover its waters in the new year. Regarding the hydrological regime, this is part of our business, and our actives are ready to perform very well. And they're better because they were conceived for this specific purpose. Regarding the capacity for the coming year, we do have a negotiated volume for practically a full volume. Everything will grow. We have already negotiated volumes that are compatible with the forecast of this year. And in all contracts with an increase in rates, we have a benchmark of the coffee rates. The rates should be the most competitive in the system because it is the client that has the highest volume with the longer terms. And that is why this is the most competitive rate. We had no difficulties in increasing the rates in other businesses. And when I say that our yearly capacity is practically contracted for the coming year, we also will see a compatible increase in the rates foreseen for 2021. Regarding new projects, we spoke about Porto Velho, which is a priority. We have made strides in the negotiation and the engineering model and others. I also draw your attention to pulp in Paraná. This is a project that we are debating with the pulp players that is quite interesting. And we have another project that we are developing, and you asked about LMG. This continues to be an important project. We see a trend for the substitution of diesel oil in the smaller and mid-sized cities in the Amazon that are not linked to Tucuruí and that generate energy and still demand diesel oil, and they should substitute this for a cleaner source. And we have a project of setting up a hub there to distribute this natural gas, liquid natural gas in the region. And another project is that of fertilizers, where we have two agreements that are under development with two large players, once again referring to fertilizers for the long term. These are the main projects. Not only these, we also have projects in the waterway. We're investing in a terminal in Uruguay. The period of the concession has been doubled because of a pulp client that we have, PM. They asked us to build another pier at our terminal in Uruguay. So we do have projects in the Paraná-Paraguay waterway. And of course, we always look for other cargo and other routes on this waterway. And to conclude, this discussion of an M&A comes about to be able to complement some routes that we call Alto Paraná, where we have even lower draft and where we would need to complement this with smaller assets to complement the navigation and to sail our super convoys. We have brought down Fernando Del Rey to be our director of business. He has full knowledge of logistics on the continent, and he will be heading these projects. I would now like to give the floor to Kubota to speak about our capital structure for projects. Thank you. And when it comes to most of the projects that were mentioned by Fabio, these are projects that if we build on, that we build on an existing infrastructure, which means that we require less capex. Secondly, regardless of being a brownfield or greenfield project, we do have a capex that normally is divided in a period of 18 to 24 months. And with the growth of the company and the generation of cash that we will have, we will be able to finance these projects from the company. To summarize, therefore, with the cash position that we have, with the cash generation that we have that is growing, if we look forward, we're convinced that most of these projects, well, we have sufficient infrastructure to be able to implement them. Thank you very much. A very quick follow-up, which is the situation of the draft in the South at present? Has it increased? Do you think that you will have an operational restriction the coming year as well? Okay, Regis, seasonally, this is a period where we naturally have less water. This is something natural that happens every year. When it comes to the drought, the rainfall began at the beginning of the month, and we already observe an improvement. Now, this is a natural situation. It is seasonal. Rainfall has been quite intense, especially in the region of Alto Paraná, in Pantanal, Corumbá. And it is important to have rainfall in these regions for the waterway. And we're following up on the outlook. The forecast says that the rainfall will continue until the end of the year, leading to a recovery. Thank you very much. Our next question is in English. It comes from Stefan from Citibank.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. Two quick ones from me. One, when we think about the bigger iron ore contract, what sort of contract protection does Hidrovias have, and does Vale have, if we get a repeat of the difficulty with the low river, low water levels? And on the M&A side, any color with respect to your comfort level around maximum leverage? Do you have a target that you would prefer not to exceed, either for internal reasons or for covenants of any kind? Thank you. That's it for me.
Fabio, when it comes to the first question of the Vale contract, we have a contract that releases both parties due to force majeure, due to a draft that will not make navigation possible. And even in a situation that is extremely adverse, this has not happened. As Kubota mentioned, the river has had an increase in water, but even if you have an outlier, this did not require that we trigger this clause. And this clause not only offers protection to the client, it also offers protection to us in the case that we cannot navigate. So both parties are released from their obligation during the period where the draft impedes navigation. Now, even with this situation, which was a true outlier, this clause was not triggered for grain, iron ore, or other contracts. I will give the floor to Kubota to respond to your second question. Regarding the second question, of course, we have different size targets, and without a doubt, we will always comply with the restrictions that we have in terms of debt. Most of the targets that we have looked at do not have a size that could become a restriction. Now, obviously, we are not going to breach any restriction, and we are sure that none of our debts will get to a threshold where they will start posing a problem.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
As we have no further questions, we will return the floor to the company for their closing remarks. Thank you very much once again, and we would like to reinforce that we continue having a sound foundation with very good volumes, with the growth of revenues and EBITDA, and we ever more create opportunities to capture CAPEX, financial synergies. The corridors in which we operate presently are consolidated, and we have a significant leadership position. We are now entering a second phase of growth, where we once again focus on incremental and accretive projects. The infrastructure basically is greenfield, and it brings very interesting results as of this moment. It is a marginal CAPEX, and we have an asset base that is quite sound. I would like to thank all of you for your interest, and we are at your entire disposal for any clarification that you might need. Thank you very much. The Hidrovias conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good afternoon. You can now disconnect your lines.